From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. One of the great voices of American music has gone silent. Ray Charles died today at his Beverly Hills home of liver failure. He was 73 years old. He was a pioneer who crossed musical boundaries and helped bring black and white audiences together. NPR's Felix Contreras has this appreciation.
You knew it was Ray Charles after just one word.
Georgia. Georgia.
Yet Ray Charles started his career trying to sound like others. As a young musician struggling to make his way in the business, he emulated one of his early heroes, Nat Cole. He explained that attraction to Terry Gross of WHYY's Fresh Air in 1998.
Most people think of Nat Cole as a great singer, you know, they know his voice. But I was looking at Nat Cole as a pianist. I mean, he was one of the, people don't realize, but Nat Cole was a hell of a pianist. He played some of that tasty stuff behind his singing. And that's what I wanted to do, was to be able to play little tasty things behind what I was singing. Makes me treat you the way that I do. Baby, ain't I good to you?
He was born Ray Charles Robinson in 1930 and was raised in Greenville, a poor town in northern Florida where, his biographer says, folded money was hard to come by. Ray Robinson started to lose his sight when he was a child from complications of glaucoma, and by age 7, he was completely blind. His mother refused to allow her son to rely on others. She instilled a fierce independence that lasted a lifetime, says Michael Lydon, the author of the book Ray Charles, The Man and His Music.
She refused to let him give in to blindness. She would say, "You may be blind, but you are not stupid. No one else will help you. You must help yourself. You must do it yourself." She made him continue to get water from the well and the firewood, bring it in, even though he tripped and would fall with it.
She managed to get her son into a state school for the blind in St. Augustine, and it was there that he studied music for the first time, learning to read and compose by Braille. His mother died when he was 15 years old, and not long after, he followed a fellow musician to Seattle, partly for the career opportunities and partly to escape the Jim Crow South. He dropped his last name to avoid confusion with professional boxer Sugar Ray Robinson and began to work professionally.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me.
In 1952, he landed a contract with a small independent label called Atlantic Records. 2 years later, he scored his first number one hit with a song that reflected the music he heard growing up. Swing, country, the blues, and gospel.
She give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of friend indeed. I got a woman way over town.
But not everyone was taken by Charles's mixing of the secular and the sacred.
A lot of people thought that it was too religious and I was bastardizing the church and, oh, man, I got all kinds. But it was really me. And, of course, I just said, well, I have to be criticized because I'm going to sing the way I sing. And later on, after some other people start doing it, then they start calling it soul music. It just goes to show you, I guess I was a little ahead of my time or something.
Charles was also a trendsetter in his business dealings. His later contracts stipulated that he would own his recording masters, a rarity for musicians of any color. Atlantic Records sent one of the best engineers in the country to build a studio that Charles paid for himself. And as he explained to NPR's Tavis Smiley in 2002, he always had complete artistic control of his music.
Nobody ever told me what to say. Nobody never told me what to play or how to play it. Never. All Atlantic would say to me is, Ray, you play the music, we do the marketing. And that's the way it was.
Ray Charles felt the principal ingredient in his popularity and influence was pretty basic, knowing what makes a good song.
Good songs are songs that the masses can relate to in their lives. You know, it's a love song. You know, when you say, "I can't stop loving you," I done made up my mind. You know how many people feel like that?
I can't stop loving you. I've made up my mind to live in memories of the lonesome time.
Ray Charles not only knew his music, he knew his audience. His biographer, Michael Lydon, says he learned that the hard way, on the road.
In his first, particularly in the first decade, he crisscrossed the country over and over and over again, playing to audiences everywhere. So he really soaked up America through his skin and through his ears. And somehow, that's, I think, why his America the Beautiful, he knows this country. He knows its people. He knows its roads. He knows its cities and its small towns. He really has a way of summing up all the threads of American music.
Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife. Who more than self, their country loved.
Ray Charles' biggest concerns over his five-decade career were getting the music right and pleasing his fans.
It's a marvelous thing to have people support you like that. I mean, you know, and as long as I've been around and people still come to see Ray Charles, that's why I love my fans, man, because they love me.
Ray Charles' last appearance before those fans was in April, when the city of Los Angeles designated his studio an historic landmark. Felix Contreras, NPR News.
Still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. Oh, Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia, Georgia.
I say just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.